And this series, which we're improving upon, I prepared first for the Pacific Coast Presbytery Family Conference a number of years ago. And the title of the series is We Must Protect This House. And the first lesson is dwelling in the house. So tonight, we're going to focus our attention on God's Word and thinking about dwelling in the house. This is a lesson. I am a teacher, and this is our teaching fellowship time. My students will tell you that on occasion, I lapse into preaching, and perhaps that will happen some this evening, but I need you to work with me as we work with the Lord, God's Word, and as we think together about what it means to dwell in God's house. Because I'm a teacher, that means I get to ask questions. I love to ask questions, and I want you to think about some questions with me. And the first question is, where is your home? Where is your home? Perhaps the answer to this question is not where you think it is. And there's a problem, because if we don't know where our home is, we can be in all kinds of trouble. Homelessness is not something that we want, and it's not something we would wish for anyone else. When Tony and Becca come, one of the things that you may or may not hear about is Tony's family, his grandfather, Tony Maestrice, his grandfather and grandmother were thrown out of their home when the nation of Turkey invaded Cyprus in 1974. And in the middle of the night, they were thrown out of their home, and they had to move away from home and leave as refugees with only the clothes that they had on. And they had to go to the south of Cyprus and had to start their whole lives all over again. They were homeless. And so homelessness isn't something that we want to have, and we understand, I think all of us understand, that a house is not the same thing as a home. A house is not the same thing as a home. So what makes a house into a home? Well, people think during this time of the Olympics that maybe the athletes from Great Britain have an advantage because they're competing in London. They're on their home field or home court. And we think about that, and that's where the phrase, we must protect this house, comes from. There's an Under Armour commercial, we must protect this house, and athletes get all, you know, they're going to, no one's going to come into their stadium or onto Penguins, no one's going to come onto home ice and take this game. Which is a lot of bluster until a better team shows up and is having a better game and then they lose. I mean, the Pirates have a better record at PNC Park than they do away from home. So we start to think about that. Well, maybe something that we think might get a little closer is sort of the hallmark moment. Well, home is where your heart is. There are songs and poems that way. Home is where your heart is. But the scriptures give us a little bit different picture than that. And so I'd like you to turn to John chapter 15 this evening. And we're going to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. If you're using the Bible in the seats, you can find that on page 1079. John 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. May God add his blessing to this reading of his own most holy, infallible, and inerrant word. The scriptures teach us many things in John 15, 1 to 17. And I want us to focus on just one of the many good things that are here tonight. The scriptures teach us, if you look at the number of the times that the word that is translated here, abide, or remain, or dwell, it gives us the clear sense from the scriptures that we are to dwell in Christ. Our home is in Christ. And our home, because it's in Jesus Christ, is also in his word. We live in word. We live by the word of Christ. For instance, we can think of the fact that Jesus tells us over and over again that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Well, of course that means obey, but it also means to hold on to. That we cling to God's word, Christ and his teaching. And that we abide in that. We dwell there. We live in it. It's our home. And this is very understandable because we need to take a minute and think a little bit about what kind of creatures we are. Children, what kind of creature are you? Sometimes you imagine that you're a certain kind of creature. Maybe you're an elephant, or maybe you're a bird and you can fly. But really, we're human beings. And what kind of creatures are we? We're creatures because we were created. Well, we were created by God's spoken word. God spoke us into existence. He spoke, and we came into being. So we were created by spoken word. We're special creatures because not only can we listen, but we can speak. Other creatures don't speak. There are some creatures that can mimic and talk, like parrots. They can say words, but they don't know what they're saying. One of the ways I know this is we were having dinner this evening, and all of the human beings in the room were kind of enjoying ourselves and laughing, and Watson was lying in his kennel in the room with us, sleeping. Now, we can command Watson. We can say, Watson, get in your box. Watson, let's go outside. And he knows what those things mean, but he doesn't enjoy conversation and doesn't engage in it. As far as I know, he hasn't been talking to anyone recently. So we're created by the spoken word, and we can participate. We've been created to be able to speak as well as to listen. For every mother in the room, you know that we were created to listen first. We'll come back to that. Right? God gave us how many ears? My mother used to say, how many ears? How many mouths? Listen. But also, human beings are social creatures. That means we're made to live together in groups. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone. He needed the society that Eve provided. And so we're created to live in a community. The people that we heard about this morning in the Tower of Babel, they were taking what we were created to do and then using it for wrong means in a wrong way. But human beings are created to live in community. So we can ask a question related to what the scriptures say. In John 15, whose words do you dwell in? Whose words do you dwell in? Now, some of you here have heard me talk about this before, and a good way to start is to say, what books have you read more than three times in the last 3 or 4 years? What books have you read more than 2 or 3 times? When you open up if you open up your browser on the internet, what comes up? And what are the 3 sites that you visit the most? What are the movies that you've seen more than once, and for some of us more than 2 or 3 times? What are the musical groups that you listen to? What are the words that you have memorized so you can sing along? But I want us to focus a little more tonight on a few questions related to spoken words. Words that are close to us, words that we know come from people who we know well. So think about this in terms of your life. Whose words demand your time and attention, whether you want them to or not? Whose words demand your time and your attention, regardless of your will? The chairman of my department is Dr. Arnett. And Dr. Arnett can change my week with a phone call. Something needs to be done, and I have to pay attention. His words demand my time and attention. If the dean calls, if the provost calls, someone in authority calls, Pastor Jeff calls and says, somebody has someone in your Shepherding group who's very ill. That demands my time and attention, and I have to change. And you have people like that too. Whose words demand your time and attention? Second question, whose words do you consciously avoid? Whose words do you consciously avoid? If you have an answering machine, who are you hesitant to call back? If you are using a cell phone, when a certain name comes up, you don't pick up? Third question, whose words can't you stay away from? Whose words can't you stay away from? They're attractive. They're compelling. You want to hear their words. You want to be around them. Jesus said to us in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we want to ask the question, whose words really dwell in us and how do they get there? Whose words really dwell in us and how do those words get there? Well, we begin by listening. We begin by listening. So I'd like you to turn with me to John 8 and verse 31. You can find this in the Bibles in your seats on page 1070. John 8, verse 31 to 47. Think about what this passage says about listening and what we're able to listen to and what we're able to hear and how we hear. John 8, 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. John explains to us here that we are freed by listening. We are freed by God making us able to listen to the word of Christ. And that people who cannot hear or unable to listen, in the English Standard Version, the translation is, cannot bear to hear my word, they are not living in freedom. They live in bondage according to lies. In 8:37, which we just read, Christ says these very difficult words. He says, my word finds no place in you. My word finds no place in you. We have an interesting illustration of this in the book of Luke. So for instance, if you look at Luke 18 gives us the story of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And the rich young ruler comes to Christ and says, what do I need to do I have obeyed all of these laws ever since I was a youth. And Jesus says to him, sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. And he goes away sad. Then the disciples ask the question about how you can get into heaven. And Jesus says it's very difficult for a rich man to get into heaven. And then in Luke 19, what happens? Jesus says, this is impossible man with man, but anything is possible with God. And Zacchaeus, who's a very rich man, comes to Christ because he can hear God's word. And he loves the word of Christ. And he voluntarily gives half of all he has to the poor and repays the people he's defrauded manyfold. And takes Jesus into his house as Christ takes him, Zacchaeus, into his home. Jesus says in the passage of John 15, which we talked about, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Christ speaks to us and makes us clean by making us able to hear and listen, and cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. And then he says, abide in me. So we need to think about this question very hard. What are we inclined to hear? Who are we attending to? And clearly Jesus is calling us to attend to the word of God, to attend to him, that our home is found in him. So the words that are in us are the words that matter. The words that come to us through Christ and are in us are what matter. So when we ask the question, where is my home? The scripture gives us an answer. And we can ask, so what makes a home? Well, the word of God makes a home. But we might better ask, who makes our home? Now, I know there are a number of people in this room who qualify as homemakers in a way that I certainly don't qualify. Some wonderful homemakers in our body here. But the homemakers in this body follow a lead that can't be found in a magazine or on a website or any such thing about homemaking. Right? As I was studying for this lesson, it really struck me when I came upon John 14 and verse 23 and 24. Take a minute and look at that. I'm going to read it to you in the English Standard Version, but John 14, 23 and 24. In verse 22, Judas asked Jesus a question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Christ and the Father come to us and make their home with us. So Christ and the Father make our home. They come to us. We don't have to go somewhere else. We don't have to figure a way to get up into God's house. When David in Psalm 23 says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the Lord has already come to dwell with us. And this is the beauty of the incarnation and of Christ coming to us. It's that Christ, when we couldn't hear, comes and makes us able to hear and cleanses us with the word that he's given us by our hearing of it. And then we love him. And in our love for him, he brings the Father, and the Father, God the Father, comes with Christ and makes a home for us, and makes a home with us, and makes a home in us. If you remember from this morning, the idea of no temple in the New Jerusalem is that God in Christ and God the Father are in the middle of the house. They're with us. They've come, and it's fully realized. Emmanuel, Christ and God with us. So Christ and the Father make our home. Well, how does it work? We come back to the question, our home is based on whose words we're inclined towards. Whose words do we want to hear? So I want you to ask this question. Whose voices do you long for? What are the voices you long to hear? We got to be with Tony and Becca and Elia with the rest of the family last week, and Elia gets up a little earlier than some of the other people in the family. And she follows a long line of women on both sides of our family who you can hear. And so I really enjoyed waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, hearing Elia talk in the other room. And she was joyful and active. And then I could go back to sleep sometimes, or maybe get up and help, depending on what people wanted me to do. But man, I wanted to hear that voice so badly. There are voices you long to hear, and you love to hear those voices. And it doesn't matter. It may have been recent, it might have been a long time ago, but who are those voices? Who belongs to those voices you long to hear? Whose voice do you want to hear? There are also voices we love to hear because not only do we long for them, but we're fun. My brother-in-law David is a great storyteller. I mean, you can't be around the guy. And you all have someone like this. Lend me your ear. Okay. Yeah, and it's just what happened this week. Some crazy things happen to people. I feel like I live a boring life, but there are some friends of mine that always have a great story. There's something spectacular that's happening, something wonderful. So we have to ask, how do we put ourselves in a place to long for and to hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the stories that we can hear about Christ and from him in his word, his spoken words? We have two really basic, simple options. One option that we have is homelessness. Everyone in the world has these two options: homelessness and home with Christ. Outside of Christ, we have houses, but there is no home. There's no home outside of Christ. In Christ, he comes with the Father to adopt us into his body and into his family. Christ makes us his brother and brings us into his home. And then he brings us in his home. He also brings us into our own homes and families, our earthly families, and situates us in a place to love him and serve him, no matter what season of life we're in, no matter what kind of household we have, and that changes over time, right? So, I want to remind you of some of the basics that we've touched on tonight in terms of where our home is. First, in Christ, our first home is in his church. Christ brings us into his home with the Father and makes a home with us. With us. Our second home is our own household. And that's a really important place too, the scripture says. And those homes and households overlap, right? Look at who's here, right? They overlap. We're here together in the Lord. In Christ, and this is something we'll be exploring more in future lessons, in Christ, the first test of who we really are is at home. The first test of who we really are is at home. It's not out in the world. It's not out in public. It's how we are in our home with one another, with the Lord, with the Father. And the third basic thing that we will again explore more in later lessons is in Christ, our first priority is the patterns of our life. Incidents and accidents that happen within the household are secondary. They matter, but they're secondary. So what are the patterns of our listening to God's word and then of our using the words through which he deigns to build households? So to review a couple things from tonight, whose words do you dwell in and whose words dwell in you? Remember that as human beings, God has made us to have our home in and through words. It's because of the words that you decided on the house. I remember Pastor Ed and Gretchen earlier in the time when I was first getting to know them after they moved here, were able to explain everything about their house and were able to explain about the library and the study and hospitality and Bible studies and the ways that they wanted the Lord to be able to use them in service to him by how they got a certain kind of house. And each of you who have your own house could describe how you went through the process of deciding why this one, why where, why these things and all those kinds of things. We do that all by words and we end up in houses. But our homes are about the voices and the sounds and the conversation that make it possible for us to be in a house and make it our home. So we need to first relate to words by listening to God's word. We want to listen to God's word. And in God's family, the way that we start out doing that is we do that together in God's home and God's house. And so we listen to God's word out loud together as it's preached, as it's read, as it's sung, as it's prayed. We listen together. Second, we listen to God's word alone with him. And I just want to suggest, and this is only a suggestion, if you have not done this, I'd encourage you at least sometimes to read God's word aloud, even when you're alone. This was also mentioned at the International Conference, that we think about listening aloud, reading the word out loud, as well as reading, praying out loud when we're in our personal devotional time. A little fun fact for the day. Everyone read the written word out loud, with only a few exceptions, before the printing press. The written word was first written to be read out loud. So it's a good practice to add. I don't always read aloud. I suspect that very few of us always read aloud, but it's something to consider. So first, we hear God's word and listen to it aloud and together. And second, we listen to it, and we listen to it alone and personally. And I also want to encourage us to be deliberately making a place for Christ's word in our hearts and in our homes. We need to think about making sure that Christ's word always finds a place in our hearts and in our homes. That we plan and deliberate on how to make room to hear in a world where we feel pressed by time and busyness all the time. Who makes our home? Christ and the Father make our home. And so the patterns that we want to establish and the priorities that we want to establish in our lives in reference to the Word of Christ is we want the Word of Christ to dominate. We want the Word of Christ to dominate our lives, to fill them up, not to the exclusion of the other words that we have an obligation to, but we want there to be a clear pattern. So we want the Word to dwell in us richly, and we want to dwell richly in the Word in His household, as Colossians 3:16 tells us. I'd like for us to close our time with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing Psalm 127, Selection A. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that You have come and made a home with our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, that You have made us able to listen to You, that Your word has found a place in us because of Your work in our lives. And we're thankful, Lord, that You have made us able to respond. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to love You, and in loving You, to love Your word, to crave it, to listen, and to follow You faithfully. We pray that You would build up this house, this body of Your believers. And we pray that You would teach us to listen to You, to love You, to listen to one another and to love one another, that Christ might be given glory here. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. If you turn to Psalm 127, Selection A, we'll sing together, "Unless the Lord build up the house."